You're just going to have leftovers for lunch. I'll just give you leftovers this morning. All the good preachers already preached except Brian. And so I'm going to take this opportunity for a few minutes. And I found out a long time ago when you say it's just going to be a few minutes. It's with Brian, it's sometimes more than a few minutes. But anyway, Romans chapter 16. Let me put the board up here. Verse 25. In Romans 16, verse 25, "Now to him that is power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to revelation of mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." The verses there tell us how we can be established. And for many years, I read those verses a little different than the way I just read them, or maybe you didn't notice any difference. But verse 25, I used to read the verse like this, and somebody stopped me one day and they said, "Steve, you're not reading that the way it's punctuated." And the way I was reading it was the last part of verse 25 was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. But that's not what the verse says. It says, "and by the scriptures of the prophets." So what it's saying there is there's three ways you're established. Number one, according to my gospel. Number two, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets. And so I want to talk to you about those three things this morning briefly, and I also want to mention to you about the commandment of the everlasting God and the obedience of faith, because all those things are equally important. Now, when we look at Romans chapter 16, verse 25, as I said, you know, the Word of God is not complicated. The Word of God is simple, and Brother Daniel was talking about the other morning that there are no words in your Bible that don't need to be there. We might not understand why they're there and so forth, but it's always jumped out at me how plain and clear it is right here at the last chapter in Romans, which was the last book that Paul wrote during the book of Acts. He says, "Now to him that's power to establish you," and then he lists these three things. And in doing so, he makes it clear what our ministry is. In other words, there's nothing wrong with us teaching other parts of the Bible, but what is it that establishes the believer? The preaching of Paul's gospel. First of all, you got to be saved. God said, or through the Apostle Paul, God said that it is His will that all men what? Be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Some people are trying to get to the knowledge of the truth and they're trying to skip the first step. You got to be saved. You got to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and know Him, know that you're saved, and then it's God's will that you come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, Jesus, by preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, you establish those in the faith that are saved. And you don't establish people in the faith by preaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As I said, nothing wrong with that. You don't establish people in the faith by preaching the Old Testament. You establish people in the faith by preaching the mystery. And when you get people established, we go all over the Bible. As Jerry's talking about, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. But there's some fundamentals. And it's interesting, when Paul talks about these things in relation to our ministry, how that this ministry is accomplished by the preaching of the Word of God. I want you to go back to John chapter 16. In John 16, I wrote all this up here in advance because that way I could check the spelling, because my board doesn't have spell check. And Brother Obitz does. So when I write these things up here, I'll probably mess up. But in John 16, verse 9, or verse 8, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." According to John 14, that Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, obviously, these instructions are to the 12. And they're in relation to preaching the gospel of the kingdom and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit after Jesus Christ has gone away. And so what do we find in Acts chapter 2? They receive the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues and so forth. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus Christ said, when you go before the magistrates and so forth, take no thought what you're going to say, because it's going to be given unto you at that time what to say. How? By the Holy Spirit. You see, people sometimes wonder, well, why is it that God said over there that there was forgiveness for blasphemy against God and blasphemy against Jesus Christ, but there's not forgiveness for blaspheming the Holy Spirit? And I believe it is because that is the final opportunity for the nation Israel to accept the message of the kingdom, and if they don't accept it there, they blaspheme it, and there is no forgiveness in this world nor in the world to come until Paul shows up in Acts chapter 9, a blasphemer who gets saved by the grace of God. And so, as Paul tells us in his epistles about his salvation, he is the first, Brother Jerry was talking about the other night, in the body of Christ. He's like, show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe. But what I want you to see is that when Jesus Christ told the 12, when the Holy Spirit has come, so go over to 1 John quickly. 1 John. First John chapter 2, verse 20. Some of the greatest confusion in the church today is on the basis of not rightly dividing, and particularly in relation to 1 John. How many times have you heard somebody say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins? 1 John 1:9. It's not about you confessing your sins. He already died for your sins. They're all forgiven. All you got to do is receive it. In 1 John chapter 2, in relation to this ministry that's going to be carried out, he said in verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, there's probably some of you out there that think that's you, but let me tell you, you don't know all things. If you do, then you might as well go on, unless you're just here for the barbecue. You're wasting your time. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Please tell me that's not written to us. Please tell these men out there that travel and pay $4 a gallon for gas and drive hundreds of miles every week to teach Bible studies that that's not written to us, because if it is, they're wasting their time. I mean, folks, that's what the words say on the page. These people that he's talking about, you need no man to teach you. Why? But as the same anointing teacheth you. Why? When a man stands up and says, well, listen, I don't need anybody to teach me. I don't have to study. I'm just dependent on the Holy Ghost to speak through me. When he opens his mouth, you'll understand he does need somebody to teach him, if you understand the word rightly. I'm not being sarcastic, folks. I'm talking about confusion in this world. God Almighty gave them the Spirit, and when they opened their mouth to speak, you know what spoke? Look back there in John again. I didn't read all that. That's so interesting. In John chapter 16, well, wouldn't that be good to know every time you get up to the Bible study, when you open your mouth, God just going to speak right through you? Well, He is, if you're using the book. But you're going to have to study it. Study to show thyself approved. Look down there in verse 12. John 16:9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, now notice, he, an individual, what we call the Trinity, the Godhead, an individual entity of the Godhead, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. What does the Spirit speak? What God tells you. What do those apostles speak? The Word of God. Supernaturally endowed with the Spirit of God to speak the Word of God. And listen, folks, you don't have that advantage or that privilege today. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You've been sealed with the Spirit, and we know the things of God by the Spirit of God. But let me tell you something. Anything you know about God has already been said here. You know on the basis of what you read in this book. You don't learn it on the basis of philosophy or science or anything else. Always amazed me. People say, well, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe the Bible's true. I say, well, you believe in God? Oh, yeah. Well, where'd you hear about God? Well, out of the Bible. Well, then why would you believe God's true if you don't believe the Bible? I mean, it doesn't make sense, does it? God Almighty supernaturally endowed these men, and He said, when the Spirit is come, He'll reprove the world of sin. What did Peter preach? He said, you murdered your Messiah. As far as I know, murder was a sin. Of righteousness. What did He say? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. He said, repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He said in Jeremiah 31, I'll place my laws in your heart. I'll be your God and you'll be my people. And you'll need not any man teach you and so forth. Sounds like righteousness to me, doesn't it, you? They were told how they could be made righteous. And judgment. And you know what? You read very little about judgment in the in Paul's epistles, but you read a lot about it in Scripture and prophets. You know why Paul never wrote much about wrath to you? You ain't going to be here. He told Thessalonians, he said, I don't need to write you about these things. Listen, folks, you can take the ministry of the Holy Spirit over here that operated in the apostles in relation to the nation Israel and see that how God is accomplishing the same thing with His Word over here. As a matter of fact, did you ever notice how this matches Romans 1:16? Go there. Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So, well, how does the gospel match sin? The first statement. Christ died for our sins. Now, that sounds like just a pretty simple statement. But do you understand that if Christ died for the sins of the world, the whole world must have been in sin. And the Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. Isn't it interesting over here? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, how do you need to be established? By my gospel. Then he says in verse 17, for therein is what? The righteousness of God revealed. Well, how about that? When the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness. And Paul said the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. You know why? Because it's only through the gospel you find out how you can be made right. You ever heard people talk about, well, I need to get right with God? No, let me tell you, Jesus Christ got right with God when He bore your sins at Calvary. What you need to do is accept the free gift. Salvation is not about you changing anything. Not about you quitting anything or starting anything. It's about you believing something and receiving what Jesus Christ did for you. And then he said of judgment, and in an interesting in Romans 1:18, he said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. You see, folks, everything you need to do the work of the ministry, God's equipped you with. And while so much of the world's out there praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost so they can be equipped to do the work of the ministry, they already got everything they need right here between the covers of this book. God's already equipped you. He's told you. It amazes me. People say, well, if the Lord leads me to do something, then or if the Lord leads me, let me tell you something. The leadership of the Lord is through the Word of God. And God's never going to lead you to do anything contrary to His Word. You know what he told me? He told me over there in Timothy, preach the word. Be it in season, out of season. You know what? I never have to pray about whether to preach the word. Man called me a few weeks ago. He said, Brother Atwood, I've been watching your TV program on Sunday night, and I'm a Southern Baptist. All of a sudden, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. Turned the volume up on the telephone. I said, I'm ready. What do you want? He said, why don't you come preach at my church? I said, what? He said, I've been listening to your TV program. He said, I want to tell you something, brother. I've been preaching a long time, but I have never heard the clarity of the gospel like it's presented on your TV program. And he said, we're having our homecoming the second week in October, and I want you to come preach. He said, we're Southern Baptists. Is that a problem? I said, not with me. You know what, folks? I didn't say, well, let me pray about it. You know why? I got a command in the Scriptures. If you came up to me and said, Brother Steve, I've got some friends over here and I want to have a Bible study next week and start a Bible study, I wouldn't have to say, well, let me pray about it. You know what? I'd be there. I don't have to pray about whether to preach. Now, sometimes I have to make a decision on whether to go here or there. And with the price of gas, I usually go here rather than there. God's given us not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And you know what, folks? So many times people want to blame and their decisions on God Almighty so they don't have to be responsible for them. God told us to preach the Word. Wouldn't it have been amazing over there in Ephesians chapter 6 for Paul to write to the Ephesians and he said, pray that doors of others might be open that I might speak the mystery. And he has opportunity to say, well, I need to pray about that. You know, the praying needs to go before. Pray about an opportunity to speak the truth. And when the door opens up, phew, go through it. It's not a matter of praying about it. Why? Because I've got... Remember what Robbie said yesterday about preaching the Word of God, about the Word of God? We have a more sure word of prophecy. You know what? If God woke you up in the middle of the night and spoke something in your ear, you'd probably forget it by the next day. People always talking about the Lord spoke to me and told me to do this and so forth. Yeah, the Lord spoke to you. But He wrote it down so that if you forget it, you can go back and reread it. Or if you misunderstand it, you can go back and reread it. Whenever I first started pastoring here, I was bound, bent, and determined that what God had called me to do was build up a congregation of numbers of people. And so consequently, about every week, I'd go home, tell Mary, this is last Sunday, I'm quitting. I'm done. It's all get over it, you're not done. And about 3 years later, we had a Bible conference. The message was preached about preach the Word, and I thought, what in the world do you think you're trying to do? You show up and preach what God gave you to preach through His Word and quit worrying about it. Quit worrying about it. Quit worrying about the numbers. I said something about we've been able to do more around here since we've got a big congregation now. And one of the ladies that's new, she just died laughing. She said, you've got a big congregation? Well, yeah, 50 is a lot more than 10. Used to, I would tell people, they'd say, well, how many have in church? I said, we've had 75. They said, 75? Yeah, I said, we had 25 in Sunday school, 25 in church, and 25 Sunday night. Listen, you can get the numbers where you want them if you can do it right. But that's not what it's about, folks. Preach the Word. Be instant in season. Why? Well, because we've got a commandment of God. Paul said, according to what? The commandment of God. He's not talking about the commandments of the Old Testament. Look back there in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. You know, it was always interesting. Well, never mind. Let's make somebody mad. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. If you want to know what godliness is, I would suggest you read the verse several times.
in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, notice, but hath in due times. Paul is the, Alan used to talk about it when he preached Sunday school here, he used to refer to Paul as the due time testifier. Paul said, in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me and Peter and James and John. Whoa. Which is committed unto me, my gospel, according to the commandment of God our Savior. You know what Paul said when he stood before Agrippa? He said, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul received a commandment, folks. And Paul, and God told Paul, he said, Paul, I want you to reveal the things that I have spoken unto you and the things that I will speak unto you. He didn't get the full load at one time. It was a continuing revelation. Look back in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. Paul, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Paul had a commandment. Now go back over there to Romans chapter 16 and notice the last part of this. Back in verse 25. I tell you, when you get to flip back over to Romans chapter 1 real quick and look there in verse 5. Because there's a phrase here that folks, the words are important. Paul said in Romans 1, 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. The obedience to the faith and the obedience of faith are not the same thing. As a matter of fact, something I should have mentioned before is in Romans chapter 1, in verse 11, when Paul writes to this church at Rome, he said, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. It's a completely different study, but if you study out the purpose of the gifts in the early church, it was for the establishment of the believers. And Paul couldn't go there and impart some spiritual gift to them, so he wrote them a letter and he said, now, here's how you can be established according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery and the scriptures of the prophets. And when you get back over there to Romans chapter 16, in verse 26, he said, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And this is really a separate study in itself, so I'll just make a few comments and we'll close here in a moment. But this word obedience is very significant in Paul's epistles. The phrase obedience of is only used four times in your King James Bible. It's used in obedience of the saints. It's used in reference to the obedience of Christ. It's used in reference to obedience of the faith. Now, what's he talking about when he's talking about obedience of the obedience of faith? When he's writing that in verse 26, the obedience of faith. Well, you know what it is to be obedient. It means to obey. It means to submit yourself to that authority. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. The Bible says that we've been saved by the faith of Christ. Paul calls the body of doctrine that was delivered unto him the faith. Remember what he said to Timothy? I have kept what? The faith. For the obedience of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want you to see and understand the importance of believing your Bible and rightly dividing the word of truth. For the obedience of faith. When it says obedience of, it indicates faith related of somebody, of the obedience of Christ. Well, what is an obedience of faith? You have a body of truth that has been delivered unto you. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. that faith, if you're obedient to the faith, if you have the obedience of faith, that faith will generate in you obedience to the Word of God, how He says to preach it, rather than how religion says it ought to be preached. The obedience of faith is obedience of that which you know in the Word of God, rather than rebelling against it, kicking against it, and saying, well, it don't really mean that, or it don't really mean this. It means you take it, and you preach the Word of God, exactly like Paul said, you establish people according to His gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation mystery, and by the Scriptures of the prophets. And you do all three. And you do it on the basis of the written Word of God, and the information that's been given to you as a minister of Jesus Christ, like Paul said, he was the minister of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. He said, I magnify my office. And when you get over to Ephesians chapter 3, he said, I was given the dispensation of the grace of God to you. That means that you have it. You're in it. And you need to be preaching it. And you don't need to go to the altar and pray for some special revelation, or pray that somehow you'll get the Spirit in a greater filling. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Open this book. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. What grieves the Holy Spirit more than anything is for you to refuse the instruction that you've been given. I tell you, folks, it's a dangerous thing in religion today when people say, well, the Lord told me to do thus and so. Let me tell you something. Brother Jerry Lockhart the other night talked about the Apostle Paul completing the Word of God according to Colossians chapter 1. If anybody today, since the Apostle Paul wrote the last word of his epistles, which, by the way, the Scriptures of the prophets is not just Old Testament prophets. Paul's writings were already considered Scripture when 2 Peter was written, when he was alive. Peter said, you do rest them as you do the other Scriptures. But the point is this. What was I talking about? The point is this. You've got the book. You've got the Word of truth. And we're to preach that on the basis of the revelation of the mystery given unto us. And you don't need any further revelation. And if man today, if God has spoken to anybody outside of His Word since Paul wrote that last word, then your Bible is not true. And revelation continues today. But revelation does not continue today. It concluded with the information given in this book. And so anytime you hear a man stand up and say, well, God told me to do thus and so, and you can't find it in the book, you can just take your check mark and check him off. Say, but he's my best friend. My family member. I love him. I'm not talking about checking him off and not having fellowship with him. I'm talking about that which he's saying God told him. God never told him to do anything. I mean, I've heard preach the other day, he's on there talking about God told him to go here. It was always interesting when I was in the denominational system that God always told preachers to go to another church if the salary was higher. They rarely told them to go places where it wasn't. I'm being a little sarcastic, but listen, folks, this is serious business. There's a religious world out there today that takes credit and tries to tell you that God's telling them to do things contrary to the Word of God and in addition to the Word of God, and you've got all the revelation you need. I can pick it up now. I was scared to death my notes were going to blow away. And I never looked at them. You got all the revelation you need right here. Study to show thyself approved unto God. But first, before you worry about that, I knew right division, preach right division, and preach the gospel of the grace of God for a year before I ever trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. So get this settled first. Paul's gospel. It's not repent and be baptized. It's not keep the commandments. It's not turn over a new leaf. It's Jesus Christ died for your sins, prepared and rose again the third day. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing your trespasses. He's forgiven you all trespasses. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. Listen, how many scriptures is it going to take for you to finally see that it ain't anything about you, it's what Christ did? If you're not saved, right where you are, right now, trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. You don't have to come to the altar, you don't have to pray anything, say anything, stand up, sit down, turn around. Just trust Him right where you are. If something takes place in your heart and your mind, and if you'll do it right now, you'll pass from death into life, and God Almighty will save you. Let's take a break.